Back together again, you and I kick it off a brand new week, Monday, the 10th of November, 2025, on Connecticut Today. We started the show with news of a tentative agreement to end an ongoing federal government shutdown that essentially gives some angry Democrats very little back in legislative leverage. I wondered aloud, was the government shutdown just an election year stunt? CBS News reporter Olivia Rinaldi joined us from D.C. to talk about that tentative deal to end the shutdown, while ConnecticutNewsJunkie.com columnist and Substack.com blogger Terry Cowgill weighed in on this year's municipal elections and the government shutdown.
All right, so what did I tell you a couple of weeks ago? Folks, what did I tell you this entire government shutdown thing was a pre-election scam? All of a sudden, the elections are over on Tuesday, and the Democrats, well, the ones with a brain, agree to something that was offered to them 3 weeks ago, a month ago. Now, all of a sudden, hey, we'll take that deal. Well, wait a minute. Before the elections on Tuesday, no way. We care too much about health care premiums. Okay, election day, election night, some big Democratic wins, and then over the weekend, the Democrats in the Senate go, okay, never mind, when do we vote? Oh, my God. I told you. The Democrats got nothing, they got nothing concrete in this agreement. Yeah, the Republicans said, okay, we promise, wink, 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 we promise we'll give you a vote on health care. What did I tell you? Chuck Schumer knew this was idiotic. But who forced him into this? Chris Murphy, AOC, Jasmine Crockett, Bernie Sanders. What a complete and utter waste of time this was. It upset airline flights for 3 or 4 days. It put some federal workers through hell. It put some people through hell who need SNAP benefits. And in the end, Chris Murphy and Dick Blumenthal and all the other ones, they're all upset now because there are others in their party trying to act like an adult. And in the end, this could have happened 3 weeks ago. Ah, but 3 weeks ago, it wouldn't happen or it didn't happen because two words, election day, ding, 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 all right. There you go. And I understand why. Look at Virginia. Virginia was a big pickup for the Dems. Abigail Spanberger won there. And who lives in Virginia? A whole lot of federal workers. Yes. So everybody huddled up in the Democratic caucus. They said, listen, we have to settle this, but we can't do it until after Election Day because we have a lot of hawked-off federal workers who live in Virginia. They came out. Spanberger got a big, big win there. And now all of a sudden, oh, we love this deal. Now, thankfully, there are 8 Democrats in the U.S. Senate who realize that this was turning into a mess. This whole thing for the Democratic Party was turning into a 5-car pileup, a 5-car rear-ender on the Merritt Parkway. There's no way you were going to come out of this without it turning into a mess. Now, as you heard, top of the hour there, and Chris Williams in the news, you heard Mr. Blumenthal doesn't like it, and you heard Mr. Murphy doesn't like it. They don't trust the Republicans. Okay. Gee, one side doesn't trust the other in Washington. I'm stunned. Oh, CPR. I'm having a heart attack. Revive me. One side doesn't trust the other in Washington. You think? They could have had this deal 3 weeks ago. People would not have had their SNAP benefits interrupted like they have them now. Now, luckily, I guess SNAP will be back in a week or so. But, again,
If you look for that SNAP card you use, if you're one of 42 million people in the country who use SNAP, you're sitting there today saying, well, wait a minute. You screwed with me eating to play your little games in D.C. Yeah. People who make $180,000 a year before taxes, I get it. You got to rent a place in D.C. and have your home here. But people who make $180,000 a year decided to screw with people's appetites and their kids. Unbelievable. You cannot script this lunacy. Well, gee, Paul, the Democrats must have got something out of it. They got a promise, wink, wink. That's right, we promise to hold a vote on extending these Affordable Care Act subsidies. Now, if Mr. Blumenthal and Mr. Murphy and the other Democrats are smart, if they're smart, and the vote doesn't go their way, then guess what, guys and gals? You've got a silver platter of an issue for the midterms next year. Because now you kind of got the Republicans backed into a corner. And what Mr. Murphy and Mr. Blumenthal should do is sit here and say, okay, now, you know, we didn't like it, but the centrist members of our party signed on to this. So let's see how trustworthy the Republicans are with health care, right? That's what I would tell them. But again, the big thing is in this whole freaking farce, this could have been done 3 weeks ago. Okay, both sides could have got in their talking points after a couple of 3 days. Then they would have huddled, ordered pizza, ordered Diet Coke, and say, all right, it's time for the kumbaya now because people can't eat and it's going to screw with the airlines. Now it is. Even if this bill passes tonight, they say it could take another 2 weeks for the air traffic control system and the airlines to get back in order here. Because, you know, you got TSA. You got security, you got pilots, you got flight attendants, whatever. But what a farce. Blumenthal's not happy. Chuck Schumer's not happy. Bernie Sanders isn't happy. Chris Murphy's never happy about anything. You know, Chris Murphy could get, and Dick Blumenthal, whatever, I get it. Chris Murphy could get up, look outside the window. It could be a glorious morning and say, you know what? It would be even better if Trump wasn't around. All right, so what do you think? Are you upset that Mr. Murphy and Mr. Blumenthal voted no on a procedural motion last night? 8 Democrats crossed over to vote with 52 Republicans to end the cloture motion. And that ends the filibuster. Filibuster now over, so they vote maybe later on tonight or tomorrow to end this lunacy, which they should have done weeks and weeks and weeks ago. My God. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Chris Murphy voted no. He wanted to continue the shutdown. Dick Blumenthal wanted this to continue. What are your thoughts on that? We'll come back and chat more straight ahead right here on WICC. All right, 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Once again, 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Talk or text. You may have some thoughts on this whole government shutdown mess, which, and you don't want to come on the air, but you want to text me on them, feel free, 333-9422. I'll read your text messages. We can all have a good laugh. You know, I hate to have to laugh about this, but man, what a farce this turned out to be. And I know the ball is now in the court of Republicans that they promised, you know, pinky bet, as we've done over the years. They have promised that they'll hold a serious vote on continuing subsidies and tax subsidies for Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act. And again, you have thousands of people here in Connecticut on Obamacare, the Connecticut healthcare portals here, right? Access Health, CT, and those rates supposedly going up. So there was a promise made there. And if the, you know, if the Republicans don't hold to their end of the deal, well, then the Democrats have something to campaign on. But again, in case you're wondering, last night there was a procedural vote. In other words, as we've tried to explain this here, there are two votes you need to do this to stop the filibuster. And technically, the bill was being filibustered by Democrats. Only a couple of Democrats joined with Republicans to break the filibuster. But again, enough of them last night. Eight Democrats crossed the aisle to basically tell Republicans, okay, we'll fund the government for another couple of months. Now, remember, this is not a full year of funding either. This is just to calm the craziness here, if you know what I mean. So essentially now you have eight Democrats who were rumored to be the eight that were going to do this from the beginning, and then the government shut down. Now, again, you know, this could happen again. So, again, who are the eight Senate Democratic Caucus members who voted in a 60-40 vote to get to the 60-vote threshold and advance the bill? I can tell you right now, Mr. Blumenthal and Mr. Murphy, both from Connecticut, not among those. They're not happy. But the eight sensible Democrats, Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, Dick Durbin of Illinois, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, I told you, a recovering stroke patient who makes more sense than 98% of the Senate, Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Tim Kaine of Virginia. Now, understand something, Tim Kaine is a liberal Democrat, but he's got 150,000 federal workers in his state. So, listen, good for him for doing this. So, Tim Kaine of Virginia, Angus King of Maine, who is an independent, but he caucuses with the Democrats, Jackie Rosen of Nevada, and Gene Shaheen of New Hampshire. So, again, notice you don't see anybody from California, you don't see anybody from New York, you don't see anybody from Connecticut, you don't see anybody from Massachusetts. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Now, as far as we go here, getting a lot of responses to this when I put this question up this morning, but Mr. Blumenthal and Mr. Murphy, Connecticut Senior U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal, Connecticut Junior U.S. Senate Member Chris Murphy, they oppose the deal. They want, and I guess they wanted, or they still want, they still want people not to get food benefits. I guess Mr. Murphy and Mr. Blumenthal are okay with the chaos at the airports. Well, Paul, where do you get off saying that? Well, what else am I supposed to think? And again, I am in no way, shape, or form against Republicans or Democrats staking out their sides, staking out their positions, and screaming and yelling at each other when it comes to policy. I have no problem with any Democrat in the House or Senate, locally or nationally, standing up for the Affordable Care Act. Let the thing land on its own volition, on its own 2 feet. I get that. But I'm sorry, when it comes to air safety, airline safety, and people not eating, to some point, remember, SNAP is a supplement. How many people rely on SNAP for all their food? I don't know. There's probably some people out there. But how disappointing. And, you know, I know Mr. Blumenthal a little bit over the years. But as far as personal connection with Richard Blumenthal or Chris Murphy, no, none. 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 Zero. But I am a tad bit disappointed here in the fact that, according to their no votes, I guess they're willing to risk air safety and willing to risk people going hungry. I don't know. You tell me. Our two U.S. Democratic Senate members, Chris Murphy and Richard Blumenthal, well, they didn't vote yes on the cloture motion yesterday. They were not among the eight Democrats who voted yes to get to 60 votes and move a bill forward to eventually end the government shutdown. Now, when will the final vote be taken? Nobody really knows yet. Let's head to D.C. now. CBS News correspondent Olivia Rinaldi watching everything for us. Olivia, as always, thank you for joining us. Is there any time frame here, Olivia, when this final bill will have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed on this?
Well, Paul, excuse me, you're going to have to bear with me while I talk about the minutiae of Senate legislation.
Okay, because that's fine.
we don't even know if they're going to be able to get this thing to a full floor vote, because there is a procedural hurdle that might get held up by Senator Rand Paul. He's the Republican from Kentucky. And the reason why is because this isn't a clean CR. It's not. This is a minibus bill filled with several budgetary items and other concessions for certain Republicans that include clamping down on the hemp industry. That is the sticking point here. So it's not even about the airlines anymore. It's about the hemp industry. And Senator Rand Paul doesn't want them to clamp down on that. So he might not vote for the procedural hurdle, which means they might just be in an impasse here. All this work for another snafu. If everything goes well, if it goes well, they could essentially vote on this legislation by later tonight, perhaps maybe 8 p.m., 9 p.m., okay, and get this thing through. Then it heads back to the House. Other big snafu. House members have not been in session for, I think it's somewhere over 50 days at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They're all at home, meaning they're in their states, and they need to make their way back to Washington. And what's the other snafu in their way is all the airline issues. So even if everything goes perfectly, they still have until Wednesday, when you have to get enough House members here to have a quorum to then vote on this thing and approve it. But given the fact that already one senator is saying, a Republican senator is saying, hey, there's stuff in here I don't like, you're going to run into some issues with these House Republicans. It's just about certain, and House Democrats as well, of course. So this, we are not out of the woods here,
yeah,
just to say the least.
Yeah.
And there's cautious optimism, but it's Washington. Things can go wrong.
Yeah. And finally, Olivia, on the other side of the aisle, I guess, this now is causing maybe a rift here to widen a little bit between the progressive end of the Democratic caucuses and the centrists here, because these eight centrist Democrats stepped up here and said enough is enough.
Yeah, this is going to create a big problem for Democrats. Just fresh off of that big win in Virginia and New Jersey last week, we are now seeing essentially a civil war in this party, where we saw some Democrats, Senate Democrats, break with their party to vote to end this shutdown. A lot of their reasoning was because, well, twofold. One, the airport situation that we've seen unfold. And two, they just don't believe that Republicans are going to cave on these health care premiums, and they think they're doing more harm than good. There's already been a revolt of some Democratic senators, saying that this is not okay, this is untenable, that they had the wind on their side and they don't know why some are capitulating. We have seen House Democrats point the finger at Leader Schumer, saying that it is time for him to step down and step aside. Now, House leadership, Leader Jeffries, I should say, he said he doesn't believe Schumer should step aside, but obviously, these people are very upset. Democrats are very upset because they felt like they really had the cards in their hand. They felt like they were having some momentum. Polls were showing the American public was blaming Republicans and Trump for the shutdown, not blaming Democrats. So for them to fold at this moment, it's just, it feels like it's getting the wind taken out of their sails, really.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Olivia Rinaldi, CBS News. Olivia, we appreciate the time. Take care, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Take care.
Appreciate it. There you go. Yeah, if it's 5:15 on a Monday here, that means we get it straight. Because, of course, they taught us in geometry that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. We get it, whatever it is, from a Terry Cowgill. Yes, Connecticut News Junkie, ctnewsjunkie.com and substack.com, the blog there. Red meat for mushy moderates. Mr. Cowgill, good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Well, I'm still reeling from this election. And I'm asking myself the question, what is the future of the Democratic Party? Zohran Mamdani? Or is it Abigail...
Spanberger.
What's her name there from Virginia?
Spanberger.
Or Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey. And I have come to the conclusion that the future of the Democratic Party is not Mamdani.
Yeah.
Because what sells in New York doesn't necessarily sell in the rest of the country.
Yep.
What sold in Virginia and New Jersey, those are real states, and they're pretty diverse states politically.
Uh-huh.
They lean Democratic, both of them do, but they don't lean Democratic by 13 points or so, which was the margin of victory of those two governor candidates. So I think it was a very good night for Democrats, and frankly, I was surprised by the margins.
Yeah,
you were too.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I mean, the fact that Spanberger and Sherrill won, no big deal. But when I saw the margins, Terry, and when you look at, I know one thing you wanted to talk about today were the 29 or 30 flips here in Connecticut. Listen, as we've seen in the past 5 or 10 years, sometimes, even though he's not on the ballot, Donald Trump is on the ballot. And I think that's what we saw last Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And people who are familiar with my writing know that I really lament when national politics intrude into local politics.
Yeah.
Because as the former mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter, famously said one time, he said, there is no Democratic or Republican way to fill a pothole.
Yes.
And so I don't see what relevance that the two parties have in local elections, especially in the smaller towns. And so I prefer the approach that they have in Massachusetts, and which is that all of the elections in municipal elections and school board elections are all nonpartisan. And I think that's the way it should be. But in Connecticut, everything is partisan, you know, right down to dog catcher. You know? Is there a Republican or a Democratic way
to catch a dog?
To catch a dog? We shall see.
But you know what? You know what, Terry? In the environment we're in, I'll bet you there is. I'll bet you if you had two dog catchers side by side, one side would say, I will just grab him and throw him in the back of a truck. And the other side would say, well, no, we have to coax the dog into the vehicle.
Right? Yeah. There is a humane way to do it, you know.
And I
would love to see a debate between the two candidates for dog catcher in my town. I think it would be a big seller.
Yeah, and Terry, you touched on something that I always touch on here and tell people. I say, look, a governor's race, a presidential race, they're sexy, they're big, you cheer for the uniform year in and year out, the candidates change, the uniform stays the same. But again, and I always emphasize, Terry, and you and I have talked about this, your local mayoral race, first selectman, city council, town council, board of finance, and even the stuff in Hartford has far more of an effect on your daily lives than anybody in D.C., but yet it's disheartening, Terry, to see how low some of the turnout is for our municipal elections. It's mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah. I think I read somewhere that half of the voting public only votes in November in presidential election years. That's it. That's all they vote for. Nothing else.
And they'll complain about their property tax rate. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll complain about that, and they probably complain if dog catcher comes by and takes their dog with it. But you know, I was looking at this, and this is actually a point that I did want to make about this vote to end the shutdown.
Sure. Yeah.
This is pretty amazing because I looked at it. And there are 8 Democrats who crossed the aisle and decided to vote with the Republicans to end the shutdown. Now, do you know what Politico said there are a few obvious threads connecting the group who broke the partisan impasse?
Yeah.
Well, there's one very obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
That is that all 8 of those Democratic senators either are not running for re-election or they are not up for re-election next year.
Shocking. Shocking.
That's what they have in common, okay? And all this does is feed cynicism that the people in Washington are more concerned with protecting their job than they are in protecting us. And I think it's despicable, but I guess that's the way, you know, it's the only way they felt they could break the impasse. Very sad, though.
You know, Terry, there was, and Terry Cowgill, the guest, obviously, read him at the Connecticut News Junkie and Substack.com, Red Meat for Mushy Moderates. You know, Terry, I don't know if you heard any of the lead up here when you were on hold. I remember seeing this list of eight people, not just a few days ago, but right before Election Day. And I had postulated, Terry, and some people agree with me. Some people say I'm nuts. I guess that's the way it should be on talk radio. I said, I seem to think, Terry, I saw this going into the election, and I said, Chuck Schumer's not this stupid. He didn't fall off a vegetable truck yesterday. Like, why would they do this? And I had thrown out there, Terry, that I thought this government shutdown was just a lead up to the election. And I said last week on my show, when you couldn't join me, I said, watch, folks, what happens within a day or two after the election. And sure enough, Terry, all of a sudden I'm seeing these same seven or eight names. Now, of course, Fetterman's been out there for a couple of weeks or whatever. And I said on this show to my listeners, you watch how quickly this ends. I mean, because, look, Terry, if you're Chuck Schumer, and all right, you've got two valued issues here. But if you want to rightly debate tax subsidies for Obamacare, why would you do that in trying to fend off a government shutdown, though? There's no way he was forced into this, Terry. I'm sorry. I just think he was.
Yeah. Well, this was a hill that they were willing to die on, you know. And if you look at this list of senators, by the way, some of them are like Dick Durbin is not running for reelection.
No.
And then you look, you see Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I would say that Fetterman was elected 3 years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
Look for him to switch parties.
See, he says he's not. He says he's not going to, though. I don't know. You think that's just a lie?
Well, I don't. You know, people. He can always say he changed his mind, and situation has changed.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me.
Yeah.
That was Ronald Reagan's famous saying back in the 60s, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So, he can easily do it and rationalize it by saying, you know, the party has swung way over to the other side, much more so than when I made this promise that I would not switch. So I think he can do it. He can do it if he wants to.
And finally, Terry, I said previously, man, this is lining up for at least a year of fun. The dreaded third term, as we've all talked about. Ned Lamont apparently likes the job, Terry, and he says, yeah, please, sir, can I have some more? How about that?
You know, what's amazing is that he wants to do this, and he's, you know, he's in his 70s and stuff. Now, you know, you can be a Washington senator for into your, you know, Chuck Grassley is in his 90s now, right?
Yeah.
Strom Thurmond famously was 100. When he left, and he basically lived in a hospital his last 7 years. They wheeled him into the Capitol, literally.
Yeah.
So it's just not that hard a job, right? But governor, that's real work. I mean, it's hard work.
He must like it, Terry. I mean, the guy's got all the money.
So
he's got all the money in the world. He and Andy are independently wealthy. And what else is he going to do at home?
Yeah, well, I guess so. I mean, you know, he could just kind of put his feet up and go back on the Greenwich cocktail circuit and just, you know, enjoy retirement. But this is very difficult. And as we've discussed before, third terms for governors generally don't end well.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he's going to be undone by scandal, because I just don't think he's a scandal kind of guy.
No.
But could something happen? Could there be a revolt within his party? Because he didn't sign that housing bill, and he's not progressive enough for Jason Rojas and the guy down in Hamden who's primarying
Josh Elliott,
who owns the food store.
Yeah.
So I think it's I just don't think it's going to end well. Really? And I'm not wishing him ill because I like him personally.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a lot more personable than Dan Malloy, who I also met.
Governor, what did he call himself? Governor Porcupine. Remember that?
That's right. Governor Porcupine. Yeah. I'm a porcupine. Apparently, still a job at the University of Maine after a very rocky start.
Yeah.
But I think he's still there.
Yeah, he is. He is. All right, folks, read Terry's stuff. You can check him out at ctnewsjunkie.com. And also, I love the name of his blog, Red Meat for Mushy Moderates. Terry, good chatting with you. I'm sure we'll have more down the road. Thank you, sir. Be well.
Very good. Thank you, Paul.
All right, there you go. Terry Cowgill. Check him out, folks. ctnewsjunkie.com and also on substack.com, Red Meat for Mushy Moderates.